please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
With that message, never better get checked. There ain't no difference second when the king goes sick. For the gal and a chick, fuck around and get wet.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know, guys, I am glad and happy to be here, looking for the opportunity to share my thoughts with you and have you do the same with me. We had an outstanding day yesterday, and I hope we have that same today. I do want to say that I'm going to be talking about something that is on a little solemn note, but it is something we're probably going to find ourselves talking about a lot until a solution is found. Here in Orlando, like most cities, we have a huge school system. And the school system nowadays comes with a lot of different issues and problems that were not the same in years back. Monday, we lost a 15-year-old young man who was a very good student, who had only been here in America a few years, looking for the opportunity to prosper and take advantage of the American dream. But he had gotten into a confrontation with some other students, and they had a brawl at one of the parks in Winter Park. And I use the term Winter Park because Winter Park is important, because Winter Park is one of our economically non-oppressed areas, meaning that Winter Park is one of the exclusive areas in the Orlando area. And this young man was beaten to death. He had gotten to the point where he was brain dead, and his parents had to take him off life support, and he succumbed to his injuries. And so there will be a group of individuals who the police round up, and their lives will be equally destroyed by their decision to act out in such a violent manner. And we're just losing so many of our young people to violence. And at some point, adults have to find a solution to help young people get through their adolescent years without throwing their lives away. And it is just happening too much around the country that here you have a student, someone's child, who was sent to school and got into some kind of confrontation in school, and they took it off campus, and now he is no longer with us. You know, it is just a sad commentary to what is going on in our society today. And this is happening at each and every school, and a lot of times we think it's exclusive to poor schools or poor economic depressed areas, but now it is getting where it takes place throughout the country and at every all kinds of individual places. And I just want us to talk about today, yesterday we talked about the need to continue to pray, the need to be focused on our beliefs. But we're going to have to come up with some solutions that we can implement in our school systems, in our churches, in our boys' clubs, or in our youth centers that help our young people not act out so violently. I'm telling you that when I go on YouTube and go onto some of the media, videos now, our young people just look like they are bound and determined to act out in violent ways and kick each other in the head, hit each other with all kind of foreign objects. And we have to somehow get into these parents' home where these violent kids are and figure out how to depress the violence that is in their heart. Because it bothers me when I see not only is this young man gone, but when the police, in their investigation, there is bound to be one or two others whose lives are going to be destroyed related to having to spend some time in jail when they get charged as adults. And so we, the adults, have to think about how do we intervene in the lives of our young people in a way that we help them to understand how valuable their freedom is, how valuable their education is, and how valuable their futures are. Because they seem to be so hell-bent on displaying their violent behavior to the point that they're willing to hurt each other. I know that several months ago we talked about the young girl who went to school and her parents sent her to school, and she got killed in the school bathroom by a group of girls who beat her to death behind some boy. And now two or three of those girls are facing jail time as a result. And this continues to happen, and we at some point we have to develop a communication or voice that talks to our young people and help them understand the value of their lives and their futures such that they can't afford to act out in such a violent manner. And so we're going to just talk about what can we do or where do we go. Or, you know, just like we talked about Black Lives Matter, how can we impress upon our kids that youth matters, that their young people lives matter, and that they need to stop doing the kinds of things that threaten their futures. Audrey, I see you're on the line. You know, give me your thoughts in terms of, you know, we're always talking about conversation is where we begin, but what can we implement or what can we do to stop all this unnecessary and senseless violence that's happening across the country related to our young people?
I think we build on the organizations that don't promote bullying, because that's what it is. Acts of violence like that from, you know, youth to youth, that's a bullying act. And if we set boundaries and know that all lives matter, as a matter of fact, but we have to get to a place where it's uncool to be a bully. So how do we do that? You said it exactly right. You know, utilize our community organizations, whether that's the YMCA, the Boys Club organization, and youth groups from our church and within our communities, and constantly model and recognize and reward positive behaviors. You know, when we tolerate somebody to be mistreated, that becomes our standard. I say often, you know, what we tolerate becomes our standard. So if a person come into a community or they come into a job or they come into a classroom, you can have all the rules and regulations that you won't post it. And this is our culture. This is what we do, and this is how we adhere. But a new person is going to look and observe what is truly reality in the workplace, in the school, or whatever the case may be. So we have to make sure that we're actually living a culture in which we value a lot, and we just don't tolerate bullying. It's just uncool.
My name is George. I'm a first-time caller. Mr. Deshay, I just want to say great job.
Hey, how you doing, George? I want everybody to know that George is one of my college friends from South Carolina State. Welcome on the line, George.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, George, let me pose the question to you. You know, what do we do about all this youth violence that is plaguing our country right now? And we're having youth being killed and young people's lives being destroyed because they have to spend time in jail. What are your thoughts about how do we intervene in these kids' lives in a way that we can stop all this senseless violence?
I have no answers, but some people suggest that it goes back to slavery and our beatings and the way we raise our kids with beating. When we grew up, if you had a beef with somebody, you know, you might would, you know, fight with fists. But now everybody and their brother has a gun. Just recently, I'm in North Carolina, at one of the HBCUs, students were at a party, and somebody said something to someone. Next thing you know, they had a gun out shooting. And so it makes it dangerous even to go in a large crowd, not even for the, you know, young people, but for as we even get older, anywhere people don't, or people disagree, they feel that the way to solve it is to take some. We need to get back.
And I know gun violence is a problem. Let me just ask you all this, and I'm going to go to you, Cassie. Should we try to restrict the amount of violence that we allow on YouTube and on these live screens? So maybe some of these people are encouraged to go around fighting and videotaping it because they want to see themselves on these videos and getting all these clicks. Or is that just something we can't have any control over? We need to just leave it alone, or is it something positive about it that we just have to deal with from now on? Kathy?
Hi, James. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last bit. Can you repeat that for me, please?
What I'm just wondering is, these kids videotape their violence in such a fashion that they look to put it on YouTube and they look to put it on Facebook and all these different medias. Should we look to ask Facebook and YouTube not to allow these kinds of things to be placed on the public airways?
Yes, I think they need to be banned. You don't need to be having that particular stuff on Facebook where the whole world can see it. That's why they put it up there. So, yeah, something needs to be done. We need to start a petition on that so that we can get that mess off of Facebook and YouTube. But, you know, if you look at it on the other end, that's evidence for the police department to be able to know and go to the individuals who are actually on the tape, on the video. So, I mean, it works two ways. You know, that's evidence for the police department to do their investigations. But then on the other end, it's sad to see this being recorded and then added to Facebook and YouTube.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me. You know, it's a catch 22. You know, we saw the video of the man who had been shot, and the girl was videotaping live where her boyfriend was had been shot by the police, and it gave you evidence and gave you a real look at the violence that was being perpetrated against people. But it just seems like our kids are so engrossed in wanting to display their despicable behavior, and that they look for opportunities to videotape them doing some horrendous things.
Yeah, but if you look behind the video, even before the fight begins or even before it starts, you can see the devil behind that, because that's all it is. It's the devil. And he has these kids rearing up, acting crazy, going out, jumping on people, beating people like that. And you know, when the kids get into the jail, they act like they don't remember what happened. They act like they didn't know that they were beating those people to the extent that they did. And then some of them try to say that they have a health issue or something is wrong. So, you know,
it's amazing. Regina, what are your thoughts? You know, you're in the school system, and you see or are aware of the violence that is being perpetrated on our children by each other. And again, them videotaping and wanting to be getting accolades for what the violence that they perpetrate on each other. What are your thoughts about us trying to, should we try to restrict the amount of violence that they can put on these airways now and on the internet? Or are we just at the mercy because so much of this is a positive thing?
James, I just really don't know. You know, we keep asking the same question, and we still come back to the answer of it needs to be a collaboration with the home, schools, and communities. We keep saying it. I'm not sure how well it's being done, but as I told somebody the other day, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and still getting the same result. Now, are we insane because we keep to be done, but is it being done, or is the problem just that large that you can't tell the difference that it's making? So I said we just maybe just need to keep plugging along with what we're doing. If we save one life,
well,
it's great.
And I know that it's hard. You know, we talk all the time about it's hard to turn back the hands of time. But at the rate we're losing our young people and them falling prey to these behaviors where they're just out there preying on each other and preying on adults. I recognize when I see some of these videos where they will just attack innocent people on the public buses, where they're violently striking out at bus drivers who might not want to let them on the bus free of charge. They seem to be preying on the general public. And we know they're in these schools. And so a lot of times I talk about implementing some type of program that teaches them about humanity. How to live your life in a way you respect life, because some of the things that they do, you wouldn't even do to a dog or you wouldn't do to a wild animal. And so why are we subjecting humans to this kind of violence? I see we have a caller, 2774. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Dre Hayes, I'm calling from Durham, North Carolina.
What are your thoughts about the violence that young people seem to be inflicting on themselves and on adults? And we can't seem to get control over them understanding how valuable their lives are. and some of them find themselves locked up and for murder at the age of 14 and 15 years of age.
Just got to reach them while they're young, younger than 14 and 15. It's a breakdown, like the one of the callers said, in the family structure. You know, parents, to me, in my opinion, is working and have a lot on their plate trying to just survive. And the kids are kind of on their own, so to speak, because they don't have sometimes that adult supervision that they need at a younger age and guidance that they need. And so they end up getting lost in the shuffle. And I'm just speaking from, you know, personal experience, you know, going through a divorce and the kids at being around, you know, 12, 13 years of age and not having that family structure, they end up getting in trouble. And how do we fix that? We have to pay more attention, kind of reach out as a community. It's not just one person can solve it. It has to be a village to raise a child, as I used to hear back in the day. So that's my input.
And we seem to be so committed to the athletic aspect of growth of our children, but someone needs to at some point intervene, and we need to educate them about humanity and what role they play in society, and so that they know that at some point they had to commit themselves to being a positive force in the society and not a negative force. It just seems that some of the things that we didn't have to deal with when we were younger. I know that I'm 56, and I went through my whole school term, and I never knew the kind of violence that these kids are perpetrating on each other. I've never had a classmate from elementary school to high college that died as a result or at the hand of another student. And now we see that our students are just being inundated with all types of violence being perpetrated on themselves. We talk all the time about what the violence police officers are extracting on African-Americans, young men, but not nearly at the rate that these young people are perpetrating the violence on themselves. George, what are your thoughts about what can we do on the educational level from kindergarten on up to assist these students to understand the need to understand what humanity is all about?
Not being a teacher myself, I would say teachers have enough on their plates already. I think that we need to do, as a community, do more mentoring. It's okay, if you would, that our kids are doing okay, but we need to reach back and try to influence other kids to set and be role models for them, joining, be a big brother, a big sister, or, you know, find ways in which we can spend time with kids to make sure that they are on the right path.
And I think you're right. I think we're losing our children at such a rate that those of us who've already raised our kids and who find ourselves with not enough to do have to find some way to intervene. I cannot understand when I woke up on a couple of days ago and heard about this young man on life support, and he was a good student who spoke three languages and was just a high-performing student, but yet he still fell prey to the violence of young people. It's just a despicable situation, but we have to do something, or the issue or the situation is going to get even worse. Kathy, in your area, do you know of anything other that people are doing to reduce the violence of young people?
Well, I know that they are holding forums, different forums at the school and some of the community centers to try to get to the core of the issue of why that's going on. But
I can't name any specific organizations, but I have seen on Facebook and heard in the church that they do have the forum for the young people to address those issues.
All right, we're about halfway through our show today. I'm going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation related to how do we intervene into the violence that seems to be inundating our communities in terms of our young people.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, as we discuss this issue, we have to come to an understanding that our children are truly our futures. And if we do not spend some time trying to focus on this issue, that we will all our lives at some point or another will be impacted by the violence that's being perpetrated in our neighborhoods and in our schools and throughout our country. I know that we here in Orlando at FAMU, you know, when I worked in the 33rd Street Jail, I spent some time with one inmate who was a part of the violence that took the life of one of the drum majors at FAMU. And he just talked about how it was a horrific event and how he wished he had never gotten involved in the hazing that eventually took the life of one of his members of his band. And now he was facing a year in jail as a college student, somewhere he never envisioned seeing himself, and he doesn't know how it's going to impact. He didn't know how it was going to impact his future life, because there were a lot of schools that were not willing to accept him, though he did find a school to continue his education. But it wasn't as simple as he thought. And so now we find ourselves with so many of these young people who perpetrate this violence, and then when they do let the light come on, they've created such a dark place for their futures that we're not even sure how they're going to be able to overcome some of the detriment that they've done to their lives. 2774, what do you think about as a society? What obligation do we have to opening doors for some of these people who have done some of these horrific things?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
I just wonder, what obligation does society have to open doors for these young people who find themselves trying to overcome some of the horrific things that they've done once they've been allowed to leave jail and they've physically hurt somebody because of their violent behavior?
I believe while in jail, there need to be some type of rehabilitation, not only in jail, but once they come out. I find that so often it's not enough resources out here for, intervention programs for these violent offenders or offenders in general. I'll be speaking on the 25th at the Second Precinct, and that's one of the things that they're saying, that it's not enough programs out here for people who had offended in some whatever type of way. And that's something that as a community, as an organization, need to come together to develop these programs so they can get the help they need and be able to be, model citizens back here in society.
I know for a fact when I spent so many days with a lot of these young men when they were locked up, and I just felt like these young men could have been my sons. And they when you sit down and you talk to them, they don't seem to be capable of the evil that they perpetrated on somebody. And you just know that had somebody been there before they did these things, their lives may have been altered. And we have to, at some point, instead of just throw away the key, look to having an opportunity or giving them the opportunity to change the direction of their existence. Because right now we have more than 1 million people locked up, and we just can't allow those kind of resources or those kind of the potential to just be thrown away, especially at the point that so many of these people are getting in trouble at so young. Kathy, what are your thoughts about rehabilitation and the need to help some of these people after they find themselves in some of these ugly situations?
Well, I agree with the last caller that we need to have some kind of reform going on inside and also outside. And I think that it could be mandated by the judge that they go to some sort of program in order to help them, go through what happened, why it happened, and how that it can stop. I mean, and to help them to stop anything happening after their release. So definitely to seek some sort of help while they're in, and also when they're out, getting some kind of, like they have the AA meetings, getting some kind of meetings with other people, to see, to help them through, life, because that's something that they're going to actually have to deal with even later on in life, even 10 years later. They're, it's still going to be a part of their history, something that happened and something they did. So, yeah.
And you know what? I think parents, and, I know that George, my classmate, talked about, he thought that teachers already had a burden on them. But I think that students need to be identified early that who have anger management problems. And if they're getting suspended from school, then somehow or another that needs to be some counseling that's done that is mandated. Because if you allow that violence that they perpetrate while they're that young and in school and constantly being thrown out of school, we're releasing them on the general population when they become adults. So therefore, free school should be not something that we're required to give, but it should be something that you know that you have to earn the right to have. And if you are going to have free school, then you're going to have to meet some kind of qualifications, or we can put some requirements on you, and that once you've displayed a violent behavior that is contrary to the school environment and to society in general, that you need to be mandated to have some type of counseling. And the earlier that you get it, the better, I would think. What are your thoughts, 2774? Should we be able to mandate counseling for young children?
I believe it should be something mandated for children because it's so needed. It's so needed. I substitute third graders, and it's like, you know, they're going through so much. And as a teacher, you don't have time to counsel children. But as a substitute teacher, I was able to see some things because of the line of work that I'm in and be able to kind of connect. So it definitely should be something, you know, mandated almost as a curriculum on things to, you know, be prepared for when you go out into the real world.
Yeah, and because it's not going to go away. If you're violent as a third or fourth grader, it is just not going to just go away when you become a 15 or 16-year-old. And so some, you know, and there are some things that are easy to deal with in people's youth. I mean, if you have a child kicking the teacher in kindergarten and acting out already in kindergarten, there has to be some way that we intervene in these children's lives to help them avoid the possibility of jail or the possibility of them becoming murderers. Kathy, your thoughts.
Well, I'm thinking about when I was in school, how they used to have a nurse at school. So if you get hurt or anything, you could go to the nurse, call your parents, and, you know, they give you a Band-Aid or aspirin and let you sit down and lay down. I'm thinking that they should have some kind of therapist on staff there while school is in because of however many kids that they have at the school, and that in the event something happens like that, the therapist is already there. And if it's something that continues, that the therapist can schedule a meeting with the parent to see if something is going on, not so much as to call, you know, the social services or children's services in, you know, because they'll be that took the kids, but somebody there that can talk to the kids to see if there's something going on mentally or even at home, you know.
Because there has to be some way to modify people's behavior. You know, we're in this day and time where things are not going to get better if we don't find some way to intervene and reduce what is going on. We hear across the country that young people, we have reduced the amount of teenage pregnancies have been reduced, and that's through education. So we need to see if education or counseling can have an impact on helping these kids deal with the violence that is within their spirit. Because when they just think it's funny or they think that violence is something you should videotape and put it on YouTube and not care about the person that you're kicking in the head or you hitting with a brick, there's something just in that just is inhumane, and we need to rid our children of that spirit before it endangers them. I realize that, again, we're losing not only the child that's being murdered or the child that's being maimed, we're losing these children to jail, and that too is a valuable asset that's being lost to the world when people are getting locked up at the age of 10, 12, and as teenagers, and will be in the system for the rest of their lives. And they don't seem to understand that the time when you give in 5 years, I would see some of my inmate students who would say, well, I didn't get but 5 years. And I said, but 5 years? And they don't understand, when you give in 1 year, there's no guarantee that you're going to get out of that jail alive, because there's so much violence in jails as well, because you're surrounded by people who are unable to control their impulses. So it's something that we need to do related to impulse control or behavioral control that needs to be dealt with on every level that we possibly can. I know that, we spoke about it takes a community to raise a child, but we have to have some organizations that are committed to ridding our world of this type of violence that inundates our system presently. Kathy, I know you live in Los Angeles, and you live in a very large city. Do you see a lot of it, or hear about a lot of the violence, or has gang violence been reduced in your area?
Yes, it has. Now, I live in, the movie Straight Outta Compton. Well, I live 15 minutes away from there. I was actually raised in Compton, so there was a lot of gang violence there, a lot of prostitution in Long Beach Boulevard. But lately, it's really been down to where they have gang forces out and prostitution forces out, pulling these people in and talking to them, asking them why, and don't they want to have their community better? Don't they want their community to be seen as something great and not something that, ooh, we can't go to that city, or, ooh, that's where all the stuff is happening. So, it has been a decrease.
All right, caller 2774, in your area, what do you think about your area? Are you all dealing with the violence in an effective manner where it's being reduced in your area?
Well, it's being addressed. They have a lot of, panels for the community of Durham where they have students actually come, as well as, caseworkers and all different type of officials coming in to kind of, champion and figure out, how can they, prevent, the gang violence within the community. So I think they're doing a good job of, trying to do their best to keep the violence down by having these type of rallies and events for the children. Yes, it still exists, but they are working on reducing it.
And it's such a dramatic need. I know that to myself, we cannot continue to just accept the fact that we got a million individuals locked up without trying to reduce the number of people being victimized by our young people and by adults who did not get the proper treatment or need or counseling to deal with these situations. Because there's some reason that these kids are so violent or have so much self-hatred within their spirit. When you think about Chicago and Philadelphia and some of these other cities that seem to be so inundated with all this violence, it's just sad to hear about the violence, black-on-black crime that existed in so many of our communities throughout the United States. We're going to take another short break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation. We need to find solutions to what is so in depth into our young people that they need to act out so violently.
Mm-hmm. fifth and fourth graders are thinking is out of this world. But I will have already had a pre place in the book, and I'll say, you know, well, what are you reading? 99% of the time, nothing. 80% of the time, they're not on grade level. But I'll read them an exciting part of the book, and that would make them interested in reading more. I don't know if they're going to throw the book away, but at least one, an adult cared, an African-American female cared and wasn't yelling at them and listened. And then they got something from this person to engage them. I mean, whatever way other folks choose to engage, that's for them to decide. That's how I do it. And that, you know, that's my contribution to trying to make it to society. I don't know. I'm just doing what I do.
Well, Kathy, I know that you're part of a organization that gives away shoes and tries to help the morale of young people. Beyond that, how do you all? How does your organization stay engaged with the young people that you all help?
Well, what we try to do is reach out to them on a monthly basis to see where they are and what they're actually doing. I think I told you maybe a couple of weeks ago, our church have incorporated this thing that they do with the young people ages 17 to 35, where they bring them in and talk to them about life skills, about money, about, you know, relationships, lifestyle, all of that. So we have caught on to the vision, and we are trying to make a difference at our church, and hoping that it will actually spring off onto some of the other churches about having forums with the young people to keep them engaged and talk to them about the issues that are going on.
Yeah, we just can't continue our young people at such a devastating rate and lose them so young to such senseless violence, stuff that doesn't have to be. And I think when you truly let people know their value and let them know how bright their futures are, they're less likely to just throw their lives away. But once these people that I'm talking about in Orlando get caught, it'll be like they threw their lives away, and that whatever they were angry about didn't, you know, it had no true meaning whatsoever. But yet their lives will really have been destroyed by something that was not important at all. And I know that, Regina, you just felt that not a few weeks ago when one of your young elementary school students' life was taken away because of a sick individual who came to the school and fired several shots, and a young man was hit in a place where they couldn't stop the bleeding, or he lost so much blood that he finally succumbed to his injuries. Regina? All right, I must have lost Regina because I was talking to her about an incident that took place in South Carolina where a young boy murdered his father and then went on to an elementary school and shot three other individuals. So it is a something that is happening all around the country.
They've decided to charge him as an adult.
Did they?
Yes, sir.
Now he had some mental issues prior to that as well. He had gotten kicked out of school. Is that not right?
Well, he was underage, so they could not divulge what the school's result was, you know, what the school did as a result of him pulling a knife on somebody. But, you know, folk could report that it happened, people who knew about it. So I really don't know if he got kicked out of school, but we can all imagine what happened to him.
He was being homeschooled at the time that he went on his rampage. So this is another young person who probably needed some sort of counseling. Right, he killed his dad before he went to the elementary school. And so he needed some type of counseling or some kind of intervention to help him with what he was going through. Again, everybody, when we get in our conversations rolling, well, we're at the end of another show. And I just want to say that we just have to keep our eyes and ears open and try to get involved on whatever level we can, because we need to help these kids understand that their lives are too valuable to be lost in this fashion. And we have to learn to be a part of the solution. And even our politics have to suggest that we care about young people and young adults and their need to keep them out of jail and keeping them to be a positive force in our community. I just want to thank all of you for calling in, and thank you for your support. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 6 p.m. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Thank you, Kathy, and thank you, Regina, for staying for the whole show. Take care, and I'll see you tomorrow.